This is the season of lots of things, but also when folks at the Massachusetts-based Merriam-Webster Dictionary tell us which word mattered the most. It's their word of the year. So over the break, did you try to guess? Well, it is pandemic. And among the other top words for 2020, coronavirus, defund, icon, malarkey, quarantine, and a new, or a perennial New England fave, irregardless. So joining us now for some word fun is Peter Sokolowski, editor-at-large of Merriam-Webster Dictionary. He's in Springfield, joins us from there. Peter, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's great to be with you.
So, you know, the speed of the story this year we thought was going to be the vaccine. We now have pandemic as the word of the year. But I was also really interested to find out that the word COVID-19 has a record-breaking story this year, too. Tell us about that.
Well, none of us had ever heard that word a year ago, for sure. And it was coined by the World Health Organization to name this disease in February of this year. And we saw in our dictionary data, we have 100 million page views a month at the website and 2 billion lookups a year on our app. So a lot of data coming in. And many people were looking this new term up, but there was no entry, not only in our dictionary, there was no entry in any dictionary for that term. But our science definers had noticed the term in January and February when it was coined and had drafted a definition, and we decided to have a kind of emergency release to put out a few words that were associated with the pandemic, including COVID-19 itself, and to make them available immediately rather than to wait for our normal publishing schedule. And so the record was set at 34 days between coinage and entry into our dictionary.
Wow. And how much faster is that than, let's say, that the old record?
Well, the former record was back in the days of print when we still sell print dictionaries. But in 1984, we added the word AIDS, and that was about 2 years after the term was coined. But that had to go through the entire production process of typesetting and distribution and getting the books onto bookshelves. So that was a little bit longer. But for the same reason, you can see that these were two terms that were of real significant importance to the public, and there was an urgent sort of necessity to get those definitions into the dictionary.
So some interesting parallels there, and interesting to know that COVID, which of course its spread became our global pandemic, had a sort of a linguistic moment this year as well. Now to the word of the hour, pandemic. I know it's not a surprise that that was the big word this year, but in reading up for to talk to you, I was kind of stunned at the magnitude of that word this year. Can you give people some sense of how big the word pandemic became in 2020?
Sure. I mean, looking back at the data, and our word of the year is a statistical analysis of which words sent people to the dictionary during the previous year, and we noticed something for the first time when we looked at this data, which was there was a little uptick on January 20th, which was the date of the first positive case in the United States. You could see the word starting to go up, but then on February 3rd, the day that the first COVID patient in the United States was released from a Seattle hospital, that was when there was a significant lookup, about 1,600% over a year before that. But then the big day was in March when the World Health Organization officially declared that COVID-19 can be characterized as a, quote, pandemic. And that's the day that the word had a 115,806% lookup increase over that same day last year, which is astonishing, almost 116,000% increase. And so what you see here is a couple of things. First of all, when a word seems suddenly technical or legal or medical, that drives people to the dictionary. And pandemic might be a word in our general vocabulary, but only in a general way. When it suddenly seems to affect our daily lives, that specificity, that urgent specificity, is what sends people to the dictionary.
So I'm listening to you talk about, 100,000 times more. Mm-hmm. And there's something, I know that that's in retrospect, right? We look back now and we see that that was the searching, but there is something ominous to that. Because, I love me some words. I would be interested in whatever word you wanted to bring to the show today. But for the person who may not be as much, engaged with the dictionary, this idea of words and how language affect us, it's something like the pandemic as a word really is a window into our psyche, our collective lived experience this year, our souls, our worries. You know, talk about that a little bit.
Well, absolutely. And sometimes with words, of course, the words themselves have stories. You know, the story of a word, its biography is its etymology, its own history. And pandemic, pan in Greek, means all or every. And demos, it means the population or people. So all of the people is what pandemic means. And it connects it to the word epidemic, which means on or upon the people, or endemic, which means in or within the people. So within the people, on the people, all the people. And it's interesting and important to note also that demos, the dem part of pandemic, is the same dem that's in democracy or demagogue, you know, population or populace or people. And so this is a word that that means affecting all of us, and that's really the profound nature of this of this disease, of course, but it's also the profound nature of the sort of cultural response. We all had to stay home. Many businesses had to close. You know, obviously the consequences were immediate. As it happens, and I'm sure my story is not unique at all, March 11th was the date that this disease was declared a pandemic. The 12th, my company had a practice work from home day just to make sure that we all had connections. And that evening, we got an email that said, don't come back. And we haven't been back since. So the fact is that that 24-hour period was a really momentous one for all of us.
So, you know, to that point, some of the other pandemic-related words this year, quarantine, asymptomatic, coronavirus. Quarantine was the one I thought of. Obviously, staying at home from work was more a safety precaution or, you know, a shelter in place. But these words start to emerge. You've already told us what it means and how we know and why they emerge when we're having a moment in history. Do they now become sort of a thing of their own after there's the linguistic star rises on a word? Do we start to use it to mean other things and borrow it in other contexts? Will we see these words stay with us in the front of our psyche even after, you know, hopefully, as we heard in the last segments, the masks come off and we're finally starting to live a life that is post COVID-19?
Sure. I mean, you know, by comparison, in 2009, our word of the year was bailout because the Great Recession was underway and bailout was in the news. And again, it had a kind of technical quality in that moment, and it was urgent. But when we talk about that period, we don't call it the bailout. However, in this case, I think 10 years hence, we probably will refer to this as the pandemic. So not only is this a global consequence of the medical emergency, but there is this idea that we've named something, and it may well be that the word pandemic achieves a secondary meaning. That is to say, specifically this disease, this moment in time, this time that we all share. And it's true that there are categories of words, some words that have to do with sort of governmental response, like quarantine, or, you know, when this first happened, we saw terms like lockdown and draconian, and even martial law being looked up. So those are kind of governmental responses. And then there are medical terms like coronavirus, pandemic, and vector and virus that were looked up. And then there's also these other words that were just sort of the public's response, words like apoplectic or Kafkaesque or tragedy or surreal. These are terms that people were looking up in the dictionary when the reality of this first sort of hit. The thing about the word pandemic is that not only was it high in March, it remained high all year long, so that this is clearly the word of the year. It's just something that people have been thinking about, and they go back to the dictionary to confirm or get more nuance and information about.
So our nation's racial reckoning was the other big story this year, and I noticed that the third word on the list was defund. Also,
Absolutely.
Icon, Mamba were big words this year. Connect the dots for us, for our listeners. We have about
sure.
a minute
I mean,
and a half.
Yeah, sure. You know, what sends people to the dictionary is often the news, but it's often sports or entertainment. But in this case, of course, a very news-filled year, defund the police. Defund is an interesting issue because the news question was always, what does it mean? You know, what mm-hmm. did you want? What did you express by that? Our dictionary definition simply means to remove funding from. So there's no answer there about the specificity of police funding. However, it sent people to the dictionary for clarity. Icon, of course, referring both to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Congressman John Lewis, who both died this year. And the word icon was used in so many memorials and obituaries for those two figures. And Mamba is from the Zulu word, meaning a very fast kind of snake that was Kobe Bryant's nickname. And the death of a sports star is a shock to the country. And this unusual word sent many people to the dictionary. And the fact is, it's a good indicator to show what people are thinking about according to which words send them to the dictionary from the news. It's sort of a prism through which to view the news with vocabulary.
Peter, is there one word, just briefly, that was fun for you this year?
Well, the word malarkey, of course, has been associated with the president-elect Biden. He's been using it in his debates for years, and we've noted that over time. My favorite, of course, is the word irregardless, which many people were upset about to discover that it was in our dictionary, apparently new to the dictionary. In fact, we first entered it in 1934. It's a word that's, you know, that we enter in the dictionary because the job of the dictionary is to tell the truth about words, not to be the traffic cop, but to report the facts. And, of course, the fact is this is a word that exists. This may be a hypercorrection or an error. We do recommend in the dictionary that you probably should not use this word if you care about the way that your writing is going to be judged, if it's academic or professional. But it's a fun word, and it's about language, and that's what sends people to the dictionary, too.
Well, and irregardless, we are out of time. That's Peter Sokolowski, editor-at-large of Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.